Good morning. My name is Celeste, and today's reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 through 20. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thanks, Celeste. Well, are you guys mad at me over the scripture thing? Okay, I was just playing. You look like you have grumpy faces. All right, so that was our verse for today. We are, if you're visiting this morning, welcome to Adventure Church. We are working through the book of Ephesians, and we've got one more month to go. We're in chapter 5, verses 8 through 20. So if you have your Bible this morning, you can open up to that or open it up in your phone. And we're going to work through that verse by verse. But before we do that, I'd love to pray and just ask the Spirit to give us understanding this morning. So, yes, Lord, we recognize that your word is a living word. It's not just a book. And some may read it and just experience it as a book, but it's because it's your Spirit that gives understanding. And so this morning, that's what we're asking you for and seeking you for. We all want to experience and understand the living power of your word, that you would illuminate it and you give us understanding, Lord. And so we ask that as we open up Ephesians 5, 8 through 20, you would show us something new, something that we haven't seen before in it, and an application to our lives so that we could live out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there's three themes that we're going to kind of cover in this passage this morning. So there's a lot in the passage. And what the message this morning is going to serve as is an introduction to a journey that you can take this week through our daily devotional that we've made, and they're available in the back. You can grab one of those. But it's going to take that journey to really step into application at a deeper level of the word. And oftentimes I think we rush God's word. I think just these 13 verses that we're covering today, I think we can spend this whole week walking in those and actually get some traction with seeing some change in our life and moving closer to God. So we're starting with light. And just real quick, I made a really awesome discovery this morning. Star, you don't even know this yet, but driving to church this morning, which can feel like work sometimes, but it's a work of the Lord. Okay. Anyways, about 5 years ago, I had a light come on in, you know, the check engine light in my van. About 5 years ago. Okay. And, well, just hear the rest of the story. And it kind of blares in your face when it's dark out, you know, when you're driving at night. You know, it's kind of annoying. It's probably supposed to be, but I figured out that if you just put a piece of tissue, kind of stuff it in the area right there, it doesn't get in your face. So that's one of my mechanical fixes I did on my van. And I don't know why, this true story, I don't know why this morning I moved that piece of tissue, which I haven't done for a long time, and the check engine light is not on anymore. So, honey, you didn't know you married a mechanic, but you actually did marry a mechanic. And all it takes is a piece of tissue paper. So if we think about light and the origin of light, it's one of the first things introduced to us in Scripture in Genesis, right? When we talk about creation and God created the heavens and the earth, and then he brought what into that? He brought light into it. And then he said, wow, this light is good. And then he separated darkness from light. So the two can't mix. And so that's the first introduction of light. And then we see in John, when it describes Jesus, what is Jesus described as? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Speaking of Jesus, without him, nothing was made that has been made. Wow, Jesus made light. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Okay, so now we're getting some idea of light here. It's connected with life. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. That's John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Now he himself, John the Baptist, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. But what happens? The true light, Jesus, that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. And that has happened. Okay? So we learn the origin of light is from God. And there's so many references to light in Scripture as it relates to us in our spiritual nature and God and his character. And so we come to our first verse this morning, and it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." And the most significant thing that jumps out to me with this verse is it doesn't say live in the light. It doesn't say you were once in the darkness. What does it say? It says you were once darkness. How's that feel? Feels yucky. I mean, if you could think of some kind of thing like a light bulb, but it emits darkness, that's what you were before. But if you are in Christ now, who is the light of the world, you are now light. And that's significant. And somebody might argue with me and say, what are you talking about? I'm a good person. No, I haven't received Christ, but I do good things and I'm charitable. And that argument reminds me of a really good illustration that Pastor Randy Lawrence used right up on this stage one time. Some of you were here for it. It was the orange juice illustration. You may remember that. And he had a big blender of orange juice. And then he brought just a little piece of his dog's poop. Just a little teeny piece. You could hardly see it. And he put it in there and blended it up. And he offered everybody a drink. And nobody took a drink. Because that's our status. That's our nature before God. Without Christ, is as good as we are, there's still sin in our lives. And therefore, we still put out darkness. But we have the capability now, because we are light, we are children of light, to walk in that light now and to shine that light. But that's what we're going to unpack here, is how Paul kind of walks us into what does that look like. Because that can feel kind of vague at this point, like just be light. Stanley, be light. Just go be light. But you're like, how do I do that? What does that look like? So light, what it's made of. Well, in order to do that, we kind of need to know what kind of light are we talking about? What is the nature of this light? What does it consist of? And Paul, very helpfully, in the next verse, explains that. He says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Okay, so now we see the fruits of that light. If it's God's light shining through us as children of light, there's going to be goodness, righteousness, and truth. So let's just take a moment and jump to some other scriptures that talk a little bit more about each of those. Peter teaches us, he says, his divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So we see that goodness is a part of God's character. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So now we're called to add goodness to our nature. and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. So Peter encourages us that we have everything we need to take on these divine natures that he just lists out. And then he says, now go walk in them more and more. And goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit as well. So that's going to be an aspect, a fruit of this light that we're shining out. Goodness, to me, I see goodness like we talk about God being good. We just sang a song about Jesus is good. I think goodness is doing the right thing. And we see so many times in our lives, we experience God doing the right thing. And it's not just what he has to do, okay? If you do something that's good, it's not, I have to do this, I'm obligated to do this. But we see God all the time going out of his way. I mean, the biggest picture is through Jesus. He didn't have to do that. But because he's good, because of his nature described here, because of his glory and his goodness, he gave us that promise through Christ of salvation. And so we know that the light is going to have goodness in it. Righteousness. Romans is a great book to read if you want to learn about righteousness. I think I found 32 times that the word righteousness was used in that book. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And the big theme that Paul's teaching in Romans about righteousness is it comes through Christ. So this light that's going to contain righteousness is going to come through your faith in Christ and the work that he's done to make you righteous. And Paul's always hitting that theme. This is what you are, therefore live like it. This is who you already are through God's work in you. Now start living like it. Stop doing these things, Corinthians, because that's not who you are. You're this, start living it. And that's what he's hitting over and over again in Ephesians. It's what he's hitting on in the passage this morning. So the righteousness is not just, oh, I'm going to go out and be righteous. And I'm going to clean my life up. And I'm going to do it in my own strength and power. It's believing and receiving that you are righteous through Christ. And then allowing that the Spirit to come in and illuminate those areas that are not in line with that. And making the changes that need to be made. Truth. This light has truth. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Okay? I think of truth as the word of God, as a plumb line that we can compare everything to. And it's the light that anything you have in your life, you can put it under that lamp of the word. And it reveals what it is. Oh, that's not good. This is good. I'm keeping this. It measures up to. It's illuminated by the word, and it stands as good and righteous and true. One, you know, thing that I've noticed is through the years in my interactions, relationships with people, is if somebody goes down a road of sin and darkness, they tend to do exactly what we see here, okay, in John that Jesus describes. I mean, Jesus knows what he's talking about. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. They kind of disappear. They kind of fall off the map. And you go after them. You reach out to them. They don't return your calls. They don't come to church. They don't come to get-togethers. They don't come over when you invite them. Because as they walk deeper and deeper in that darkness, they don't want to be next to light because light exposes what's really going on. And that light can actually help them get back into the right path. But they resist it. Some don't. Eventually they get to that place where they're like, no, I need to be there and this is hard, but I need to come under that lamp of God's light. So that's just a little bit of description of kind of what this light looks like. But how do we shine it? Okay? Paul describes kind of a way that we bring this light into the world, and he says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So there's different ways of shining light, and they might have different effects. For my dog, Samson, isn't he cute? We got him when he was like 6 weeks old. He was about as big as his head. And I put him down in front of our husky. Not, I, obviously not the best dog trainer. Put him down in front of our big husky to introduce him so they could, you know, fall in love. And he just walked over and just chomped him in his mouth like he was going to eat him. Wasn't fighting with him or anything. He just looked like a squirrel. He's this big. So I wrestled him to the ground and had to pry Boris's jaws open. And I remind Samson daily that I saved his life. And so he's forever indebted to me, and he thinks I'm the greatest. Anyways, what does this have to do with light? On the 4th of July, what do we like to shoot up into the sky? Fireworks, okay? We like to shoot up light, and they're beautiful to us who understand why we're doing that, right? We all like to shoot up fireworks and look at them. Some of us don't like them, but Samson doesn't like them. And shortly after the fireworks started, we were hanging these up all over in our neighborhood. Okay? Poor Samson had run into the darkness away from the light because the light was just too intense, too in his face. And he did come home a couple days later as the rising sun came up, right? A good source of light that was drawing to him to come back home, and he was there in the morning. So I only share that story to make us think, gosh, are there ways that I could be like a, you know, a firecracker going off in somebody's ear with this light that I am, you know, as a child of God? Or are there ways I could be like the rising sun, you know, that has a good effect? And don't get me wrong, because it doesn't mean you're not going to have maybe some contention at times when you shine the light. But we can see that Paul's teaching us that it's not about darkness and getting caught up and talking about the darkness and maybe even just pointing out all the darkness that you see in somebody's life, but it's being light yourself that will expose that. Have you ever had the experience where in a situation, I've had some times where just working with coworkers who are maybe swearing a lot and stuff. Now, this is before I worked here, right? Not the staff at Adventure Church. We're not talking about them. And I'm not talking about Jerry Griffin, you know, who I clean windows with. And just, okay, before all of that, I'd work with some people who, you know, maybe coarse joking was normal, swearing, different things. And as God was doing this work in me, you know, I wasn't always pointing my finger at them, but I just didn't partake in it. And they'd start up a joke, and I kind of walk away, and, oh, there goes Jeff, you know, and they noticed that I stopped swearing, because before I'd come to Christ, I did. And eventually, over time, I found those people apologizing at times. As they were exposed to that light, as that light was around them, it actually illuminated what they were doing. So they were in darkness, but you know, if that light never comes in, they don't really even feel a conscience to it. They're not conscious of that darkness that's around. Now, one more illustration before we go to that. Now, what I talked about with sometimes it's hard to step into that. It's not always going to be warm, fuzzy light. Star and I, when we were early on in our marriage, which I can say that now because we've actually been married for quite a while, almost 19 years, we had some friends that we had made at church, and they were not married, but they had a child, and they lived together. And they loved God. They were going to church, and we became friends with them, and they were kind of the same age as us, and we hung out quite a bit and developed this relationship, and then, you know, we recognized, you know, we need to talk with them about this. What does God's word say? What does the light shine into this? How can we do this? And we were a little bit afraid, you know, we didn't want to offend them, but it's true love speaks up, right, to the truth. And so we approached them on this and, you know, let them know, you know, our hearts are for you. We just see that God knows what he's doing. This isn't our idea, it's his, for you to be married if, you know, you're going to have this relationship. And, you know, pray about that. Are you supposed to be married or are you supposed to, you know, not live together? And they were convicted by it. And it's a good story that kind of turned out really good, where they really felt God's conviction and they saw the truth of his word and they wound up getting married. And they have several kids now and they're just a happy family. But that was something we had to step into in shining the light to a brother and sister, where we saw that truth wasn't penetrating in. And they actually were kind of like, oh, wow. Like, it brought it to their attention in a way that they'd kind of just grown used to or accustomed to having that darkness around them. And so that's another example of bringing light in. Jesus has something to say here about this concept of how to shine. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And I got permission from Dan to talk a little bit about a work party that he put together last week for his mom, who just had some needs around the home and some health challenges. And he saw this need, and he knew it was, you know, a lot of work, and he wasn't going to be able to pull it off on his own. And so he thought, well, why not invite the youth into this mission to really do this, to shine God's light? And they pulled together, and I think there was, 10 or 11 youth that showed up for that last Monday and did this incredible work in a day and got so much done and really blessed his mom, to the point where the effect was what Jesus is saying here, that she was praising her Father in heaven. She's a believer, and she was praising him because she was experiencing through these people real light, tangible light, through the youth. Proud of our youth, too, and proud of Dan for inviting them into that. But that's another example of how God's saying, live out your faith before men, and that light will illuminate. Okay, that's light. Two more topics to think about this morning from this passage, and that's knowing God's will. Now we see kind of woven in between all these verses on light, Paul keeps bringing it back to knowing God's will, which is a huge hot topic in the church. What's God's will for me? I got this decision to make. You know, 13 colleges, which one am I supposed to go to? Who am I supposed to marry? Am I even supposed to get married? Are we supposed to have kids? There's so many of those types of topics, and then there's just the daily decisions, you know, that we need to make. Well, the reason I think that Paul intertwines these two concepts is just, you know, through looking deeper at it, it really is important for us to be walking in righteousness and aligned with God to even be able to hear what his will is for us. Because a lot of times we can be totally on tilt. We can be totally distracted and even have things that are causing this dimming in our life that we're participating in, things of the world, things of darkness. And on the other side, we're just passionately seeking God and wanting to have clarity on what his will is for our lives. And that's a contradiction. And it's hard for us to hear him in that. What it comes down to in hearing God and in knowing what his will is for your life is it's like the analogy of driving. And all of us kind of start out in this world driving the truck ourselves. Okay? And we're not going to get through life successfully and with fullness of life if we stay in that seat for our whole life. And some of us get out of it for a little bit and accept Christ and have this experience of really letting him drive. And then we kind of scoot in and we're kind of, you know, half on the seat again with God. And then eventually maybe we're grinding gears ourselves again. But I want to show you a clip from the movie Larger Than Life that kind of illustrates, I think, pretty well the scene that you are going to experience in your life at some point if you are still driving. It's going to come. It's coming. If you're driving, I just wanted to give you fair warning. Bill Murray's trying to get across the country, and he's trying to do it his way, and he lies to the rental place that he's a truck driver, and he gets this big truck because he's trying to transport an elephant across. You got to see the film, Larger Than Life, to understand what's going on there. But I just show that to make the point that really there's a lot of connection with who's driving. And not just, I've given my life to God, and he's the Lord of my life, and he died for my sins. But are there areas of your life where you still have the wheel? Oh, hold on, this is my gear, God. This is the one where I steer this one. And that's going to be what you're going to butt up against when you're wrestling with these issues that Paul's talking about knowing what pleases God, knowing what his will is for your life. Find out what pleases the Lord, he says in verse 10. And then after some more talk about light, he brings it up again. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, like Bill Murray in that clip, but understand what the Lord's will is. So that's great. Go understand what the Lord's will is. Okay, that's can feel difficult to do that. But I think what Paul's saying here, as we look at a couple of scriptures that kind of bring more light to that, is how do we understand? Therefore, he teaches in Romans, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Okay, living sacrifice, still moving, breathing, functioning, but a sacrifice to the Lord, holy and pleasing to God. That's talking about him driving now. In your life, what areas of your life are not holy and pleasing? This is your spiritual act of worship. That's how you worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then what? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We can't skip the first step and go right to the God, what do you want to do with my life? What's your will for me? What am I supposed to do in this situation? What's the right decision? You've got to walk in being a living sacrifice, walking in holiness before God, and that comes through his work in you, not just by effort, and the renewing of your mind. And then you start to see what God's will is. Let's look at this one. Right here, here's a whole list of things that are God's will for you this morning. You didn't know you were going to walk in here this morning and walk away with a list of what God's will is for your life. But here it is in our passage today. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. That's quite a bit of stuff there in that list. But it's God's Spirit that helps us walk in it. Have you ever experienced maybe a season of your life, maybe you're in it right now, maybe it was on a missions trip that you went on. It often happens on mission trips where you are in such a dialed-in place of focus and mission with God. You spent months preparing for it. You're on this mission. You're with the people you've been praying for. And you just experience daily, you just know God's will. You see somebody on the street, I'm just supposed to pray for this person. I just know. And you see God move in that, and you just know you are walking in God's will. Oh, there's a need here. I'm just going to meet this need. And you just see the fruit of that. It's not a struggling. It's not, I got to take 2 weeks and get away and just listen to God and try to decipher this, and it's this wrestling match. You're just dialed in. I truly believe that it's God's desire and his offer to us that we can live in that all the time. That it doesn't have to just be a mountaintop experience to walk by the Spirit. And we're going to see, just as we continue in this passage, to walk by the Spirit and to just to know what God's will is. Now, I think there still will be things that he causes us to really seek him for, decisions, different things. And through that, he gets deeper relationship with us. I think we see that even with men and women of God in the Bible who walked with him and had hard decisions and had to seek him. I think that still happens. But I think in our everyday life, we could just know certain things that we're supposed to do and step into them and do them if we are walking with God in the light. So that brings us to our last point, which is kind of where we're headed for the next several weeks, kind of as we wrap up Ephesians, which is Paul's been talking a lot about this is who you are. Now he's going to go into some really practical, because that's who you are, this is how you live. And this morning, he kind of, in the passage, he touches on how we interact with others in the church, how we interact with God in these verses. Next week, he's going to talk about marriage, husband and wife. What does it look like? Because of who you are, what does it look like to be in a marriage relationship that reflects Christ and the church, that relationship? Okay? Going to be some really challenging but really, really fruitful things that Paul challenges us with coming up. And then it's parents. Then it's fathers, children, and he talks about masters and servants, which I think we can apply some of those principles as employers or employees in our workplace. And that's going to be a few weeks out. As we look at this, we're almost wrapped up here. It says in 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Interesting, because when the Spirit was given at Pentecost, what were the people accused of? Drinking. Okay, so Paul brings that up again here. Getting drunk may give this kind of false sense of joy that wears off and leaves you depressed. It leaves you with a big headache. It doesn't last. And it causes you to do things in that state that are not in line with the light. They're in line with darkness, debauchery, immoral behavior. That's what it leads you into. But he's saying, okay, contrasting with that, I'm saying be filled with the Spirit, which is a state of, like alcohol, a state of control. What's controlling you? What's filling you? What's consuming you? Alcohol can do that and lead you into darkness. The Holy Spirit can do that and lead you into the light and lead you in more and more into God's will. So he's comparing that there, and is he talking to non-believers in this letter, Ephesians? Who's the audience that we've learned in our study? The church in Ephesus. Yeah, chapter 1. He says, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's speaking to the saints and the faithful believers and saying, be filled with the Spirit. So he's not talking about receiving the Spirit, because he also teaches in Ephesians that they receive the seal of the Holy Spirit when they put their faith in the promised Jesus Christ. So this is different. Being filled or looking at it as being controlled by the Spirit is something that we can continue to increase in more and more. Do you agree that you could be controlled more by the Holy Spirit tomorrow than you are today? Is that possible? For you to submit more to the Holy Spirit and allow him to control your thoughts, your decisions, your words? You can. And Paul's exhorting these believers who are faithful in Christ to step into that more. And then he says, verse 19, having established that you're filled with the Spirit and under the Spirit's control, you're going to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart. Okay, let's stop there, because that starts going into God. But to each other, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay, so we're going to do an exercise where you turn to your neighbor and sing. No, just kidding. Man, you guys, so serious this morning. You're like, maybe it's because you think I'd actually do that. But think about, have you ever had a psalm that you maybe shared with somebody who you just know this is going to be an encouragement to them? The Spirit gives us songs. He wants to. If you've never received a song, just a song in your heart. Elizabeth Ward, a lot of you know her. I used to love it. She'd often get these songs from the Lord that were a message. Sometimes they're a praise to God. Sometimes they're a message to us, kind of like just an encouragement in your faith. And sometimes we'd have her sing those in church and just sing them out and share them. I love that. So is it always talking about music? I don't know. I mean, he says speak to one another. So I don't know that it's always singing, but it can be. But these are the types of things that kind of bubble up out of a life that's filled with the Spirit. And so that's available to us as a church. I'd love to move into that more myself. And then it says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's your interaction with the Lord. So in interacting with each other, does it sound like Christians are supposed to be judgmental, gossiping discouragers based on this? No. So if that's going on, we know that we're not walking in the light. Based on how we're supposed to give thanks in all circumstances, does it sound like Christians are called to be grumpy, complaining, pessimists, grumbling to God about what they don't have? No. I mean, just yesterday evening, we were driving back from Northwest Trek, and we got lost. Siri led us astray. We're driving around, it probably wasn't Siri, it was probably me. Driving around these neighborhoods, and I started kind of getting worked up because I want to get back, and we were going to have a birthday party for one of my kids, and I got frustrated. I started snapping, snapping at my wife, and there's tension in the car, and I remembered while we were driving kind of in the silence of, okay, we're back on track, I think, I remembered what I'm going to be standing up here in front of all of you and talking about, which is verse 20, always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything. So I did not give thanks for Siri, but I did think about my day. Siri is the little voice on the iPhones. I don't have an iPhone, but she's the navigation thing or whatever. But I did think back on the day and the different things that I could give thanks for, and I kind of said some of those out loud. It was a choice to do that, and it helped my heart kind of turn a little bit. And some of the other people who were feeling tension in the car were also maybe doing something similar, but kind of coming around to feeling like, you know what, we're supposed to be thankful, and this isn't such a big deal. And we were able to kind of smooth things over. But it made me recognize, wow, the power of bringing that thankfulness into any situation. And it doesn't just happen. You do have to make a conscious choice at times to do that. But that's the Spirit steering. So just kind of summarizing the three things that we've covered. And like I said, I really want to encourage you, if you want to go through that study this week, just grab one of the devotionals in the back and go deeper into this. But we talked about light. And the question I would propose to you this morning is, you probably know what it is. It probably came up as soon as I started talking about this subject. What's dimming the light of God? Okay, if you've received Christ, you are a child of light. We're not arguing about that. That's not up for discussion. That's established. But what's coming in and dimming that light? And you can probably think of one thing right now without thinking too hard. Of something that's like, yeah, God wants the light to overcome that darkness, not that darkness to continue to kind of encroach on the light that I'm supposed to be. Okay, so that takes us into living God's will. So if we're living God's will in this passage, we're doing something about that thing that just came up that you thought about. It's saying, okay, am I handing the wheel over? Or am I just going to two hands on the shifter and I'm going to grind this thing into gear? Or am I hands off? Okay, God, steer me out of this darkness back into the light in that situation. So that's submission. That's true lordship. When God is Lord of your life, you move into that. And we all stumble. We all are challenged with these things in our life. There's no condemnation here. It's a journey. But take the journey. Okay? And then take action. How does this really play out in my relationships? And the take action that we're talking about this morning is, you know, with one another and with God, giving thanks in everything, singing, encouraging one another, sharing a word from the Lord with somebody else. We're going to end with a song that kind of does that. It's an encouragement to each of us of our role to shine light. And we're going to sing that out and encourage one another with that. And then, like I said, coming up next week is marriage. That's taking action. What does it really look like? And are we willing to go into that? And then parenting, family, your workplace in the weeks to come. So, go ahead, Nick.